issues have been mentioned, people have tagged in with so many things and all that. But if you are having a political discussion, such as a political high season as we are now, you would definitely make some comparisons. I believe if maybe in a manner that it was set towards Kwame Nkrumah, maybe people found that it is distasteful or whatever. But if you wind yourself, you have been in this particular cycle for a long time. It is said even in parliament, on political platforms. Parliament people will point and say, you're Akufo-Addo. People have been mentioning it. People have been saying it in political circles. But people will always disagree with certain posture in terms of how these things are done. It is left with, politicians to take you from such pronouncements and make sure. But I believe that the comparison was very clear because he was very specific on certain matters. And I think that nobody will be able to challenge on those particular specific matters that were mentioned.
Thank you very much. And that there is Haruna Muhammad, is the Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. Patrick Nelson is the Chairperson of the Independent Committee of the CPP. And Dr. Kwame Asante, Political Scientist, Senior Lecturer at the University of Ghana. I want to hear from you on the 055-111-1997. Newsnight starts now.
Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. On Newsnight tonight, minority accused government of sinking Ghana further into debt distress as parliament is asked to approve a fresh $250 million loan.
This actually goes to the heart of almost every problem we have currently as a country, overborrowing. When we are borrowed up to our neck, we can't pay. We are going around the world begging everybody to forgive us our loans. At the same time, we are borrowing more.
We'll let you in on the debate as government seeks again to grant 12.7 million euros in tax waivers to a company for electrification of 205 communities. Also this evening, the West Africa Examination Council considers recruiting its own invigilators following arrest of 16 GES teachers for various infractions in the ongoing BEC.
Teachers are supposed to be among the trusted people with integrity in our society. So when your partners are letting you down this way, it is really, really worrying. And going forward, maybe recruit our own invigilators.
Also tonight, Bateau chiefs unconvinced about measures in place to avert another disaster after a stakeholder engagement between the VRA and key stakeholders in six main areas likely to be affected by a possible spillage of the Akonsombo Dam this year.
Yes, we are not certified about the whole thing, because we are not expecting our people to turn to beggars again, because Ghanaians are tired of giving food items to us.
Four individuals cleared by the NPP vetting committee for Mesia South NPP parliamentary race.
Clearly tells you it is not a family stool. If it's a family stool, it should have been my family members making that determination.
So on Sunday, delegates, I come to you, do me the good honors by awarding me the winner after 1 p.m.
In business, government to seek review of international ruling on unitization of some oil fields in Ghana.
And Bateau Senior High School celebrates victory over St. Catherine Girls and Sokode SHTS Big as the win qualifies them to national championship of the NSMQ for the first time.
Without competition, it was tough. Especially the 2 and 4, so by God, but they kill it! They kill it!
It's not that exciting.
And much later, England takes on Netherlands. Who makes it to the finals to join Spain? Out there, we have Euros. We have commentary coming up much later. Details of that and more after the break.
I beg, fix me gobetete Ghana. No gari, no oil, no plantain, just beans then eggs.
Hey, bruh, that be dangerous combination, no.
Problem no day, I feel handle
for telesell, with the bob say, everybody gets what they like. That be why Made For Me Bundles Day. Based on your usage, you can get your own data and call packages. Fala! made for me. Bundles like the way you the want them. That's *530#. Then buy made for me bundles today.
Telecel, connecting energies. When shopping for a dress, you say,
of course, a low burst line, a little tight by the hips, covered sleeves, off shoulder, definitely.
But when buying antimalarial drug, you say,
is it not malaria? Give me whatever is available.
Choose your malaria drugs the same way you choose your dress. Always ask for Coartem. It's also available in cherry-flavored dispersible tablets for children. Don't gamble with malaria. Choose right. Choose Coartem. If symptoms persist after 3 days, consult your doctor. Malaria testing should be done before treatment. This advert is FDA approved.
Thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight. You're on Joy 99.7 FM. We're live in Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. Also, myjoyonline.com. And X Spaces, your comments are welcome is via WhatsApp 055-11-11997. We start off from Parliament.
And a minority in Parliament say they cannot understand how government will be asking the House to approve $250 million at a time when it is asking its debtors to forgive or postpone the repayment of debts. According to former Majority Leader Osei Chimensa Bonsu, the loan is for the Ghana Financial Stability Project. Listen.
$250 million facility is a financing agreement between the government of Ghana and the IDA, the International Development Association of the World Bank Group. And Speaker, it is for Ghana's financial stability project. Speaker, it's a critical note in the restructuring that government has embarked on. And that agreement, the discussion with the World Bank IMF group, preparatory to where we are today, was really, it was, so it was part of the discourse that we engaged in. So that is what we're supposed to do, to create, to solidify the platform for us. Thank you very much.
Well, the minority side have been criticizing this attempt to borrow more. Listen to the minority whip, Governor Kwame Abuja.
This actually goes to the heart of almost every problem we have currently as a country, over borrowing. When we are borrowed up to our neck, we can't pay. We are going around the world begging everybody to forgive us our loans. At the same time, we are borrowing more. We have gone everywhere. China was last week borrowing, telling China that forgive us part of what we borrowed. And then on Wednesday morning, you are borrowing more. How do you solve your borrowing problem by borrowing more? I don't get it. And I'm saying that the finance minister better answer that question. Don't take that responsibility, because it's a dangerous trap for you. In fact, once upon a time, you presented a budget year. That year was better. The year that the finance minister came, things went bad. But they could have made you a finance minister. They refused not to. They refused to make you a finance minister. Don't take up the responsibility of borrowing extra money to, hurt the economy.
Well, former minority leader also was on his feet, Haruna Idrisu, and is warning that the continuous borrowing of government may be breaching the IMF deal currently being implemented.
Speaker, the Honourable Minister for Parliamentary Affairs is invited to lay a financing agreement of a loan of up to $250 million for the Ghana Financial Stability Project, for and on behalf of the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, I will know whether he is aware that Ghana, as part of its agreement with the IMF, between now and even end of 2025, cannot borrow more than $250 million non-concessionary loan. So if he's laying this, what he needs to clarify is whether maybe this came earlier, before part of the creditors agreement the minister reached last week with the IMF. Ghana from now, even for 2025 maximum, Ghana can only borrow non-concessionary up to $250 million, then $500 million into 2026, and is elevated into 2027. So if you want to cover the whole envelope of 250 with this instrument, what he needs to clarify is by his knowledge whether this is a concessionary or a non-concessionary facility and why he wants to lay.
So that's the former minority leader, Haruna Idrisu there. Let me bring in my colleague, Kweku Asante. He's been monitoring this for us and other happenings in Parliament. So Kweku, despite this concerns that were raised, we are also told that 300 million worth of tax waivers locked up at the Finance Committee. There are new requests. What exactly are the details?
Yes, about 12.757 million euros in new tax waivers is being requested by the Finance Committee. Also be referred to the Finance Committee. And if you look at the other paper, it says that this is required for the importation by the Energy Ministry as well as Messrs. Tengaship Ghana Limited for the electrification of 205 communities in Upper East Region under the National Electrification Scheme and the Self-Help Electrification Program. So government says the tax waivers that have been blocked in the committee, they still have a couple more, and in particular this one, 12.75 million euros. That is expected to electrify about 205 communities. That has also been referred. And the minority have still made that their insistence know that they do not believe that this is the time new loans and tax waivers must be coming in. This is the time government must be modest. Government must be cutting its expenditure and all these things to save the nation a lot of resources and not continue to resort to borrowing. There are even MPs who make the comparison that if you convert 12.75 million euros to Ghana cedis, You are headed into more than 200 million Ghana cedis when government needs to set similar funds and they are raising all that balance.
I wonder then what the conclusion then on the matter was.
Well, the Speaker of Parliament did allow these two financing agreements as well as the request for waiver of import duties and taxes to go to the Finance Committee. It is now up to the Finance Committee to work on it and present a report whether or not they will be recommending for the House an approval or not. But clearly, from the minority stance on this, they are really going to prepare themselves for battle. Some of them even referencing the $150 million loan they approved quite recently for the Greater Accra Resilience Project, saying that government was just simply spending those amount of money without investing them in places that will really be productive and give the country an ability to pay those money. So we expect that probably by the end of this session of Parliament, that committee report will come and then the House will take a vote.
And just before you stepped out of the chamber, something has come up again, this issue about the IGP, the leaked tape. There was an order from the Speaker earlier. It's come back. Tell us more.
Yes, and so you will recall that last week, Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbe, ruled that the committee that was tasked to do this work, Atatia, James Agaga, Peter Lanchini, Tobo and Co., had not completed their job. Because on the floor, all of them had specific disagreement in terms of how the committee should have gone by it. And so the Speaker of Parliament ruled that they should go back and do their work and present a report. But today, the Speaker of Parliament has decided that the report should be taken and that House should continue from where they left off. So he gave the opportunity to Samuel Atatia to be on the floor and continue to advance his argument. Atatia has been making two arguments. He says first that it has come to the attention of the committee when they were doing their work that the recording that has gone public may not have been completely recorded by Chief Bugri Nabu, and that one ASP Asante, who is alleged to be a boy of the IGP, may have been the one who orchestrated the recording. He says the committee decided that they wanted to invite this ASP Asante to come before the committee and provide answers. But again, the three minority MPs on the committee, led by James Agaga, they blocked that testimony and did not allow that to happen. And so these two issues, one, whether or not Bugri Nabu did record the issue, the tape, or this tape was recorded at the instance of the IGP, allegedly, he wanted to get into it. The minority will not allow that, and that is why he's opposed to it. And then secondly, both Chief Bugri Nabu and the IGP, all when they appeared before the committee in the public hearing, did indicate that they had not spoken to each other in about 8 months at the time the committee did hear the testimony of those two persons. But he says someone did come forward to the committee that the claims made by both the IGP and Chief Bugri Nabu were not true, and that those two persons had indeed spoken quite recently, and not the 8 months that he claimed. He said that bordered on perjury, for which reason they wanted to invite this person who said he had evidence that both the IGP and Chief Bugri Nabu had indeed spoken not 8 months as they claimed, but quite recently. But then again, James Agaga, Peter Lanchini Tobu, and Eric Opoku, who were the minority members of the committee, but became the majority on the committee, did block that testimony. While he was making this argument, the majority leader, Alexander Afeni Makin, walked in and raised a preliminary objection. You will recall that when this report was made, it was made by Kennedy Ejiofor, chairman of the Defense and Interior Committee. He was not part of this committee, but at the time, the majority chief whip, Frank Anodonpre, did seek permission from the speaker, then Andrew Amakosi Yama presided, to lay this report on behalf of Atachi. At the time, he did say that he was laying this report with the consent and knowledge of Samuel Atachia. Afeni Makin now says the Speaker of Parliament has to rule whether or not this report was properly laid, as it was not laid by the chairman of the committee. But James Agaga has had a rebuttal, saying that at the time he was on the floor ready to lay this report, it was just the leadership that decided that Kennedy and Japan should do this. So the House is currently having a back and forth. The Speaker of Parliament says he wants to be guided, he wants to hear differing opinions on whether or not the report was properly laid, and then he will make his opinion. What this will mean is that this goes to the heart of the report itself. If the report the Speaker is to hold that was not properly laid, it means then there's nothing before Parliament and all the argument would have to go and start from scratch. If he does rule that the report was properly laid, despite not having been laid by the chairman, then the committee report will continue. So that is the back and forth on the report now before the Speaker will make a ruling. Again, we are not clear whether or not the Speaker of Parliament will make a ruling right now, or as he usually does, he wants the House to wait for a day or two so that he can prepare a reasoned ruling. LFA.
Well, that's my colleague Kwaku Asante there, and the action is happening live now. We can let you in on excerpts of that debate.
Chief Indibugri had said that he didn't.
I'm sorry.
And currently speaking is the chairman of the committee that was put together to investigate this IGP leak tape, Samuel Atachia. We can listen.
He didn't, put the gadget together. Somebody did it for him. Is that so? So if it is said that it is the IGP's man, a gentleman called ASP Kenneth Asante, who did the taking, it was a position that would change the entire investigation. So that it will come to the point of saying that this tape has been improvised by the IGP himself. But Chief Bugrat Nabu said some people were trying to show their concerns about elections and how it is possible that the IGP could change the electoral fortunes of some party, and some people cannot break the age if the IGP is there, and was going to take the tape to the president so that he will listen to it himself. As it happened, there was a pointer to that. I was hugely surprised that anybody would say that there's a voice on the tape and that individual whose voice was on the tape should never be called.
Well, so that's Samuel Atachia there, the chairman of the committee, was on his feet. So after that, we've had the vice chair of that committee, also who is a ranking member on the Defence and Interior Committee of Parliament, James Agauga. The issues about whether that report should have been laid by him, amongst others, came up. And this is what he had to say.
I was in the House. I drew the attention of leadership to the fact that the report was ready for laying. And in fact, I was ready and willing to lay it. However, the majority chief whip took the decision that once the chairman for the Defense and Interior Committee had earlier laid a report for that particular committee, he be called upon to lay a report for and on behalf of the chairman of the special committee. But Mr. Speaker, we need to take note of something here. The report in question was not the chairman's report. It was the committee's report. The ad hoc committee. So that in the event that the chairman was unwilling to lay the report, permission could be sought by the leader for a member to lay the report for and on behalf of the committee. That was my understanding. The practice of this House is that even in cases where ministers of truth, just today, Leave was sought for the Minister for Parliamentary Affairs to lay papers and reports for and on behalf of the Minister for Finance in this House. It's a practice. I don't think there is anything very bad about such a practice. In any case, Mr. Speaker, we now operate under the aegis of the new rules.
And that is James Agaga, who is the vice chair of that committee that was set up to probe that leaked tape. And this is still continuing on the floor. And you see there that a lot more MPs are beginning to proffer their own opinion on this particular subject. We'll wait to see how the speaker will rule and how they can proceed on this very controversial matter. You want to follow us on myjoyonline.com for the very latest on this controversy that the members of parliament are currently debating. But let's turn attention now to what is happening with the BECE, because the West Africa Examination Council is contemplating hiring its own invigilators after 16 GS teachers who were supervising the basic education certificate examination were arrested for various infractions just 3 days into the exams, escalating malpractices in previous years pushed WAEC to implement stricter monitoring mechanisms, leading to the swift apprehension of these culprits who have since been handed over to the police. And my colleague Mamisi Nyamisha Thompson breaks down the figures.
According to WAEC, 16 invigilators and teachers have been apprehended for various breaches. The centers they were arrested at include Save Our Souls Educational Center, Bekwai. Their three teachers were picked up for trying to assist the candidates. Also at Jenny Senior High School Center, two invigilators were apprehended for taking snapshots of the English language question papers and posting them on a WhatsApp platform named Kurasuma JHS. Now, in Kranza Senior High School, an invigilator, Abiam Danso, was arrested with a mobile phone on which were answers to the religious and moral education questions. At Chemu Senior High School, Tema, a teacher, Amwaku Joseph, was arrested for taking pictures of the question papers and posting on a platform named Apo Lord for BECE 2024. At Liberty Hill School Center, an invigilator, Farore Patrick, was arrested for taking pictures of the science paper and handed over to the police. At Jachi Pramsu Senior High School Center in the Ashanti region, an invigilator, Danso Emmanuel, had a phone on him in the examination hall, while Mensa Emmanuel had pieces of paper on which were answers to the questions of the English language paper. Now, Santu Basic School Center teachers from Desvi International School were found on their school bus solving the science questions for onward transmission to their students in the examination hall. All these people, they say, have been reported to the police and are being processed for court.
Well, we can now also hear from the head of WAEC in the Ashanti region, Divine Wolanyo. He describes how two teachers were caught in the act.
This teacher had met the primary schools and had charged them 6,000 cedis. And so immediately we asked for the removal of that teacher. He had another accomplice. She also was removed. There was an issue. You had the town folk coming, trooping in. That happened to be an open center. Open the center is not wall. So that center has been changed, has been moved. So they are moving to a place that is warm, more secure, so that the town folks will not have access to the... Nothing will happen to the candidates who are writing the exam. So when they go, they should stay off the school campus. We have asked for police reinforcement. If they get arrested, they shouldn't blame anyone. They are intruders. They are not supposed to be at the center. If you are not part of the examination official, you are not expected to be at the center.
So that's the WAEC Ashanti region head Divine Wolanyo describing to us how some of the teachers were caught in the act.
And let's bring in John Kapi, the head of public affairs at WAEC, joins us right now. And Kapi, have you made more arrests?
Yes, we thank you very much. Good evening to your listeners. Yes, we have made two more arrests in the central region. We are yet to get the our monitors to give us details of these people, and then we can put that in the public domain.
This brings the number to 18?
Yes, that's what it is, yeah.
Is this unprecedented?
You could say so, because in previous years, we actually did not register this number. Now, previously, we got hints that these things were on going on at the examination centers. We decided this time around to send a warning and also to increase our presence around the examination centers. Probably that is the reason we've been able to apprehend this number within a short period of time.
This must alarm you, and understand that you've met the GES on this. How did that go?
Well, there was a call or a meeting between the head of office and the director general of Ghana Education Service, and he was of the opinion that once any of these people had breached the rules of the examination, the law should take its course. So I believe that at least we are on the same page as far as maintaining sanity at the center is concerned. Beyond that, we are going to prepare a list of these people who have breached the rules and then present them to the Ghana Education Service for further disciplinary action, because GES is the professional institution that takes care of the teachers.
And you've told us that, WAEC, because of what you're now witnessing, you're now considering hiring your own invigilators for future exams?
Yeah, these are issues that have come up. Again, I've always told the media that all of these plans have financial implications. So if we are going to be assured of funds, why not? We'll be able to recruit our own invigilators, train them very well, and so we'll be able to take swift action whenever we find anybody, you know, going contrary to the rules that we have set for the examination.
And you then going to impose stricter measures if you have the funds. That's to suggest that GES in recruiting these invigilators is not being strict enough in the clearance process and the way that people are selected and vetted.
Yeah, you know, the partnership between us and GES indicates that the GES will provide for us supervisors and invigilators, and then we'll do the other technical bit of it, preparing the questions and then sending them to the examination centers. But as we are observing, a lot of these teachers probably either they've not been screened or not been briefed properly or are simply being dishonest. But then we believe that they are not up to the task. And so if there's an opportunity, why not? We should be able to recruit our own invigilators and supervisors.
And stay with me. Kofi Asare, Executive Director of the Africa Education Ward. Kofi, so what you're hearing here, you hear the John Kapi says, well, it sounds unprecedented, but they put in place stricter mechanisms now, and so is finding out these invigilators who have been attempting to corrupt the process. What's your own reading of what is happening now? Hello, Kofi. Okay, we don't have Kofi on the line right now. We'll try and get him back. But I have with me Jacob Anaba. He's a vice president of the National Association of Graduate Teachers. Hello, Jacob. Can you hear me, Jacob?
Very fantastic.
Great. Jacob, are some of your own members... Kofi, just a second. Jacob, are some of your own members invigilators in the ongoing BC?
Good evening, Evans, and good evening to your listeners. Of course, we have members across the levels of the pre-tertiary education, so we have some to be our members. I do not know those who are involved presently, so I cannot tell whether we have our members, but we have our members at all the levels, so it's possible.
This must alarm you to hear that only in 3 days, 18 invigilators, teachers, have been apprehended.
It's worrying. It's really disturbing. One wonder why a teacher would go to a length of trying to help the students in the classroom when they are writing their exams. The teacher work stops when the students enter the classroom to take the exams. And that is when you measure your output, the work you've done over the years. If you follow the students into the classroom to teach them, pass the exam, then how do you measure what you have taught over the years? It means you have failed as a teacher. I don't know what the motivation is. If it is for money, then it is very shameful. Because I don't know how much these students could contribute to give to a teacher to change your fortune. If it is for fame, I doubt if you get that fame through helping the students to pass exam, because at the end of the day, when they go higher, they will find out and they cannot continue. So there is no motivation for a teacher to be involved in exam practice. We always admonish our teachers not to take part in those activities, so that, I mean, the profession will remain the way we want it to be.
I mean, obviously, that admonition isn't working, is it? I mean, as we wait to establish whether these individuals have been arrested, are your members or not, teachers are involved in this nonetheless. What is it that your organization, NAGRAD, plan to do if it's indeed established that these 18 teachers include some of your members?
Yes, of course. The law must take its course. If you agree to take part in the examination, then you have a contract with the GES as an invigilator. And the contract has its terms and conditions, and you must be ready to face them. So the law must take its course.
Balacho, at the end of recruitment, and you say what you do is to admonish them, that is not enough, is it? It's a proper screening needs to happen. Proper vetting of these individuals.
You know, we are not involved in the examination. It is GES that recruits the teachers. And the GES must ensure that they recruit the best. Like he said, they must be screened. When you go to the schools, you ask the headmasters for the teachers that you can rely on. I'm sure we'll get them. And GES must be ready to pay money that is commensurate with the work, so that teachers will not be motivated to be involved in this malpractice that we see during examination. So we must be realistic with how we give to the teachers when they invigilate.
I mean, Kofi Asare, you've just had the burden shifted onto the GES to do a bit more proper screening and vetting. From where you sit and the way you study what happens with the recruitment process, what has gone wrong here? Apologies there. At the terrible connection to one of the guests on the line. Hello, Kofi Asare, can you hear me? Okay, we may have lost Kofi there. John Kapi, you've met with the GS already. We've handed over the 18 suspects to the police. Hasn't this affected the integrity of the ongoing exams?
Well, for now, we cannot tell, because at the time these people were apprehended, we could not tell the spread of whatever it is that they had on them. What we can do would be that for now we have a record of all the areas where these people were picked up. And so when we are doing the marking, we'll scrutinize and find out whether there has been any form of collusion. Because obviously when these things are brought into the candidates, they copy word for word. All the mistakes are the same. All the correct bits of the response are the same. So then we are, convinced that indeed something, went wrong at the center. So for now, we allow the candidates to go on and then wait until it's time for marking for us to ascertain whether indeed they benefited from these things or not.
Kofi, this is a crisis, is it not? What must happen now?
Well, as we keep saying, you can't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. That's all I have to say. We know what to do.
What must we do?
We have recommended to government since 2020 that insofar as teachers who teach students are invigilators, are supervisors, there is no way you can end examination room collusion or any form of examination or practice in the room, because the main profiteers from that business are the same teachers who are invigilators or teachers who are supervisors. And that is the first step in curbing examination room collusion.
Why are you suggesting that they may be forced to recruit their own invigilators? Would you support that?
Well, that was on page 9 of our WASI 2022 report. And in our WASI 2022 report, we recommended that. We've had discussions with the ministry, with parliament, with WAEC, all the stakeholders, and we emphasize that. The issue is that I see WAEC to be willing to do that, but the resources available to WAEC from government, it doesn't support that, because, as I said, WAEC, engaged teachers to do the regulation because
the financing regime supports that, you know, they can owe government staff, you know, than owe private staff for that long. And also the inadequate, the amount is not too much. And so if you're engaging government staff already paid by government, you know, something small as a top-up may be appreciated compared to engaging a private security firm. But if we really want to solve this problem, we must rise above the budgetary issues and look at the effectiveness and efficiency in engaging external agencies, including private security, because they know that once they don't conform, their contract will be cancelled. I'm talking about the private security companies. So it's about government rising up to the challenge, resource-wise, to decisively deal with administration collusion. But as it stands now, what we are reporting is not news. It goes on every day. It's just that the news is that people are being caught. But in terms of the act, it is regular. It is not an exception.
Thank you very much, Kofi Asare, Executive Director of the Africa Education Watch. Jacob Anaba is the Vice President of NAGRAT, and John Kapi, Head of Public Affairs at WAEC. And you have your children right in WAEC at all?
No, please.
Any WAEC exams?
They are
not
older
BC.
And younger.
What about the WASI?
Older and younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they will write?
No, not
older
yet.
And younger.
Older and younger.
Will the younger write?
Sometime to come, I'm sure they would have fixed everything. Okay. Yeah.
No, but we all remember writing BEC. I don't recall encountering any teacher assisting me. You know, I think I just wrote my own exams there. Mm-hmm. Did you? When you wrote BEC?
Yeah.
You had any teacher helping you?
Not at all. I mean, at that time, I mean, just to quote the submission by my colleague in the newsroom, Lawrence, I mean, he was talking about how the teachers were at that time very strict on the students, you know. And so I don't know what has happened. I remember an incident at the SS level when they had to do oral English, and some people didn't hear Professor Dauphin's pronunciation well, and it was a mess. But the evangelist said, you know, we are going to go ahead.
Mm.
So,
and they're charging huge sums, 6,000 CDs. Definitely the parents are paying. The kids can raise 6,000 CDs. Mm. Although we've heard that some of the children are also doing susu, yeah, you know, to pay. Mostly, we heard from Kapi last week that they found a platform where the parents actually are also coming together now to
contribute. Just like what the NAGRAT official said, this thing has always been there. Maybe we are now reporting more on it in terms of cheating. Maybe the skill, it's now worrying. You know, there are instances where there's even a leak before the day, and you go into the room and the exact questions are there.
Well, we've heard from YX say that they've now zoned the areas where they picked up these teachers, and they'll be scrutinizing the papers once they receive it to see if they see a trend, because they repeat the mistakes even in that case.
So
and
that then becomes an issue. The boy is that coming. You read the boy is that
everybody
coming.
In that room will write that. Then you know there's an issue. George, what do you have in the headlines?
Well, coming up, government to seek review of international arbitration ruling on utilization of some oil fields in the country. And food prices hit record highs for last month, according to the Ghana Statistical Service, despite inflation slowing to hit 22.8%. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business, Kingdom Books and Stationery. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, government has appealed that it would move to review ruling halting utilization of some oil fields in the country. An international court has ruled to stop government from forcing two oil firms, exploration firms, that is Eni and Vitol, from utilizing the operations with another oil field operated by Springfield. Now, Minister of State Designate at the Energy Ministry, Herbert Krampa, disclosed this during his vetting Parliament Appointment Committee.
I believe what this award does is to signal to the government to cure the anomaly which has been pointed out, and the government's policy of unitizing the blocks. We can go ahead with it and ensure that we develop both blocks, bring out our hydrocarbon resources for the benefit of the Ghanaian people. The good news is that the claim that was being made, $7 billion, that was being made on the government, the panel finds that government doesn't have to pay any of that at all. The panel found GMPC not to be liable in any way whatsoever in what transpired. We reserve the right under our laws to unitize blocks that we believe straddle and don't have to be developed independently. And I believe that the ministry would do a review together with the Attorney General's office and will be advised accordingly on what the next step should be. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Minister of State Designate at the Energy Ministry, Herbert Krapa. Now, food prices hit record highs from May to June this year. Now, this is despite inflation rate slowing to 22.8%, according to data released by the Ghana Statistical Service in Accra today. There is more in this report.
The Ghana Statistical Service data showed in April 2024, food inflation stood at 22.6%. However, it's jumped to 24%, representing a 5% leap over a month, that is from April to May 2024. It is not clear for now what were the main drivers, but a careful look at the numbers showed alcoholic beverages, tobacco and narcotics recorded the highest inflation rate increase compared to June 2023. Also, vegetables, tubers, plantains, cooking oil, and banana. Another category of food which also went up was ready-made foods. For instance, fresh okra saw the biggest jump in price, going up by almost 90%. It was followed by green pepper, which also went up by 71%, while tomatoes shot up by more than 60%. Another interesting development from the Ghana Statistical Service data was that inflation rate for locally produced items was far higher than the imported items. The non-food inflation slowed marginally. However, it is not clear how that might have contributed to the slowdown in inflation.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Professor Sima Kobnenim has been downplaying current market development as a major contributor to the slowdown inflation rate for the month of June.
Slowdown that we're recording for year-on-year inflation for June 2024 is to a very large extent as a result of what happened last year and should not be related to the fact that prices of goods and services in current period are going down. Clearly, from the month-on-month inflation, it tells you that both from a food inflation and a non-food inflation, prices of goods and services are going up. So we need to have that clarity with the interpretation. So the slowdown of 0.3 percentage point from both a year-on-year basis and a month-on-month basis is strictly as a result of the significant increases in consumer price index as we saw between May and June 2023. The question on the effect of exchange rate is always an important one, and that is why we've provided a trend analysis from June 2023 to June 2024.
Government statistician Professor Samuel Kobnenim. Now, General Manager for Venture Capital Trust, Provincial Ofuria Mpoma, is making a strong case for reassessment of venture capital practices in Ghana. This, he says, would aid the attraction of more international investors to support small businesses across the country. He spoke to Joy Business at the Capacity Building Workshop in Accra.
We have a peculiar problem in venture capital practice, which is the limited liability company, or the company structure we have under the Companies Act, has significant challenges when you want to implement the venture capital model. We've done it in the, you know, we've managed it, it's working a little bit, but we can do better. International investors are looking for a model that they are familiar with. And because of that, and also the challenges that come with it, we have identified that we need to reform Ghana's legal regime when it comes to forming legal structures. And I'm talking companies or limited liability partnership and so on. Venture capital is at their head trying to come up with the Limited Partnership Act. We've started work on it already, and very soon, if everything goes well, we hope that the parliament will be able to see it our way and pass the relevant laws to ensure that we have a Limited Partnership Act and a limited partnership structure.
Percival Ofuria Mpoma is General Manager for Venture Capital Trust Fund. Now, managers of the Caritas Lottery Platform, a subsidiary of the National Lottery Authority, is rallying more Ghanaians to participate in promotions to help mobilize more revenue for the state to aid development. Now, speaking at the launch of the Telcel More Money promo in Accra, Marketing Manager of Caritas, a platform that has been at Boama, assured that proceeds from such promotions will help in developing deprived communities and also key sectors of the economy. So that partnership with Telcel reward Ghanaians more cash prizes, including a grand prize of 1 million Ghana cedis.
We want to let Ghanaians know that partnering with Telecel, whatever revenue that accrues on the Caritas Lottery platform, doesn't sit with the authority. It goes to our various communities or societies to put smiles on the faces of people. So we want to urge Ghanaians to participate, because indirectly, once you play the promo or you participate in this, you are indirectly putting a smile in the face of someone in a remote community, providing potable water, paying someone's school fees, providing health care, supporting the arts and culture of Ghana.
That is the manager at the Caritas Lottery Platform subsidiary of the National Lottery Authority there. That is Bernard Bwama speaking. Let's turn attention to the stock market. And if you are a shareholder in MTN, it was up by a peso to close at 1 Ghana cedi 91 pesos. And that's all for business on Newsnight.
And who's your money on? Netherlands or England?
The soft spot is for England, because we wanted to come home.
We have commentary coming up shortly, but let me quickly take you to the Ashanti region and four hopeful candidates who appeared before the New Patriotic Party's vetting committee for scrutiny ahead of the party's internal election for the main Shia South parliamentary seat having cleared for the contest. My colleague Nanabwa Chidankwai Adam has more in this report.
On Monday, the New Patriotic Party opened nominations for the main Shia South parliamentary race scheduled for Sunday. At the close of submission yesterday, four persons had submitted their forms, including the brother of the incumbent Member of Parliament, Dr. Matthew Pokuprempeh, who is known as Nana Osu Efriye. Today, these four persons faced the NPP's vetting committee and were cleared. The vetting committee has issued a strong warning to these individuals to be cautious of their utterances during their campaign.
We've advised the candidate that they can ask their followers to campaign for them, but we don't want to see them following the candidates around. It's a different way of campaigning. It may answer the same, but it will avoid a number of issues, because we don't want a situation when somebody will even go and make a statement. You know, we have very short time to even deal with the conflict resolution. So we needed to take all the precautions to ensure that we come through this process in a very peaceful manner.
Evan Sinimakun, the director of elections for the New Patriotic Party, says measures are being put in place to ensure free and fair elections.
Well, these are in-house arrangements, and so the delegate list has been given to all the candidates. We expect the constituency executives, electoral coordinators, polling station executives to respect the rules and regulations, as well as the candidates, that they must not be seen to be campaigning for any of the delegates. And the New Patriotic Party, as usual, will consult with the Electoral Commission and Ghana Police Service to ensure that we have a successful constituency delegate conference.
These aspirants, vying to replace the incumbent Member of Parliament, Dr. Matthew Pokuprempeh, are poised for victory. His brother, Nana Owusu Efriye, says he's ready to take over from Dr. Matthew Pokuprempeh.
I'm well prepared, because I've been involved with the constituency since. So I think among the people who are contesting, I'm the most qualified in terms of service in the constituency. It's not a family stool. I think if it's just to be a family stool, I wouldn't have come here. I'm putting myself up for the delegates to make a decision. So that clearly tells you it is not a family stool. If it's a family stool, it would have been my family members making that determination. But this one is a family stool in relation to MPP. So the family of MPP within the constituency are the one to decide who to. And I believe I'm a royal of the MPP family in Menchia South. So I qualify to contest.
Aseo, where Aseo means victory. So on Sunday, delegates, I come to you, do me the good honors by awarding me the winner after 1 p.m.
At the end of the day, the New Patriotic Party concluded the vetting process and conducted the balloting. These aspirants are ready for Sunday. For Joy News, my name is Anabwa Chidankwai Adom. Kumasi.
And that's how we end tonight's edition of Newsnight. Evans, we are getting ready for England and Netherlands.
That's a big game. Are they going home?
They are coming home.
Oh, they are coming home.
They are bringing it home.
Is it coming home? It's coming home.
No, they are not going home. It's coming home.
Okay, we'll see.
Razak Musbau and the team are ready. We are going out, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you're going out with MFA,
Paul. He's going out, Obi.
Okay, well, that's it. That's the team there, Evans, Mensah, and MFA Power. Coming up is the big game between the Netherlands and England. This is the second semi-final. Spain already true to the final there after defeating France 2-1. So big game coming up. Who's going to be joining Spain in that final come Sunday? We'll bring you live commentary here on Joy 99.7 FM. And we'd love to hear from you on 055 1111 997. Remember, the commentary is also brought to you by NASCO. NASCO supporting us in all of this work, commentary that we've been bringing you here on the Euros. Well, the lineup is already out and the team is on the field. In the moment, you're going to be doing the anthem for both sides. And Daniel Cranton and Victor Achitamaklo are on commentary duty. You're going to be hearing from them very, very shortly.